Community Connections at CBMS. Local sounds, thoughts, passions, and success. Celebrate local. Your neighbor's got a story to tell. Community Connections.
Happy Monday, Waterloo Region. It is CKMS Community Connections for the 20th of February, 2023. My name is Bob Jonkman. Today we're going to be making a phone call to Jim Stewart of the Waterloo Region Health Coalition. We'll talk to him about the current state of public health in Ontario and some upcoming pickets taking place at the two hospitals in Kitchener this coming Thursday. But first, here's a new release from Living Room for Small called What's My Issue? I Don't Know. That's Living Room for Small, a new release that came out last Friday. We'll have Living Room for Small in the studio in about 4 weeks. In the meantime, we've got Jim Stewart from the Waterloo Region Health Coalition on the phone. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Bob. Very glad to be here. Thank you.
Welcome to CKMS Community Connections. Again, I think we're doing this as an annual event.
Yes, it seems like it. And we very much appreciate the opportunity to speak about public health care.
It's sort of sad that we're still doing this 4 years after you first came into the studio. Have things improved or diminished over the last 4 years?
That's such a pertinent question, and basically, I'd like to just express our complete dissatisfaction with what's going on. So, I think your listeners will be aware that we're absolutely having a crisis in healthcare. And that's a crisis that, quite frankly, Mr. Ford speaks to us about by calling it the status quo and how the status quo can change. But I have to say that after now Mr. Ford has been in power for 5 years, this is his fifth year in power, he has actually created this status quo as a result of his do-nothing strategy on healthcare. I mean, we understand that the pandemic hit, and obviously a lot of funding was directed to pandemic measures. But your listeners may not be aware of the fact that over 80% of all the funding to deal with the pandemic was sourced or came from directly from the federal government. So Mr. Trudeau, rather than Mr. Ford, paid for the pandemic in the province of Ontario.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a figure on that? How much did the federal government provide to the Ontario government for pandemic measures?
Oh, that's an excellent question. I do have that information, just not readily at hand.
Okay.
I'd be happy to get that to you, Bob. I'll send that to you.
We'll put it in the show notes.
But absolutely, that's easily available information. Billions of dollars were spent by the federal government on the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I'm not precisely sure how much went to the province of Ontario, but with that said, I'd like to just go on to talk about something else that Mr. Ford has done with this do-nothing strategy in creating this crisis. He has capitalized on the fact that there is obviously a surgical backlog in our healthcare system as a result of the pandemic and as a result of many surgeries being rescheduled, delayed, or canceled outright during the pandemic. But I'd like to make one point, and that is that this surgical backlog is not just happening in the province of Ontario. This is a global phenomenon. This happened in every single healthcare system across the world. So for Mr. Ford to take advantage of this a backlog in surgeries by moving ahead incredibly aggressively with his privatization plan and basically which will be a fatal blow to our public hospitals, this is absolutely, in our minds, despicable.
And the global issue is all pandemic-related?
Yeah, there are surgical backlogs in every healthcare system across the planet, including in the most privatized healthcare system in the world, which is the system to the south of us in the United States of America. Not only is it the most expensive system in the United States, but it also has the worst outcomes of the OECD countries. And quite frankly, they've got their nurses and healthcare workers on strike in places like New York City because of this surgical backlog and asking those healthcare workers to do the impossible, at the same time being underfunded and underpopulated in terms of the numbers of people they have working.
Mm-hmm.
And we have precisely the same issue in the province of Ontario, Bob.
That we've got nurses burnt out and on strike even?
Well, we don't have them on strike just yet, but I think that we're going to be going there. On February 23rd, the local ONA chapters, in concert with all of the ONA chapters across the province, will be holding pickets outside of the hospitals where they work. So on February 23rd at 11 a.m., the ONA will have a picket set up outside of St. Mary's Hospital. And then a little later in the afternoon at 12:30, they'll have another picket, and that will be set up across at Grand River Hospital in Kitchener. So these are pickets to try and alert society, the public, to the fact that what's happening in the province of Ontario is unacceptable. And let me just go on to talk about what Mr. Ford has done with this do-nothing strategy on healthcare. you know, he's just let the pandemic roll out and basically taken no steps to change the fact that now Ontario has been driven to the last place amongst all of the provinces in Canada. So we're last in overall funding per capita in healthcare funding. We're last in the number of beds per capita. And we're last, dead last, in the number of nurses per capita. So, I mean, what we're asking for is something incredibly reasonable. We'd like to see us just reach the average amongst all of the other provinces. But we're not there, and we're not going there. In fact, with this privatization model, what we see is quite the reverse. And in fact, what he's done is taken some steps to ensure that this crisis follows the old sort of right-wing mantra that Naomi Klein and others talk about. And that mantra is to create a crisis in a public system and then claim that the only solution is to privatize it. Yeah. And we know that that's just, well, it doesn't work. We know it doesn't work. There's absolutely no evidence anywhere in the world to suggest that privatizing our healthcare system will decrease wait times, for instance. In fact, it does the reverse. It increases the wait times. But if you don't mind me going on for just a moment, yeah, Bob, I'd just like to talk about what's actually occurred in Ontario, and that is that in the last government fiscal year, Mr. Ford decided to underfund our public health care system by $900 million. That was last year. So this is budgeted dollars for health care that he decided not to spend on public health care. And that information comes directly from the finance critic at Queen's Park, who happens to be Catherine Fife, the MPP in Waterloo. Mm-hmm. But to go on, The plan with the new budget is to decrease by 2024 the amount of spending in our public health care system by $5 billion. And that information came directly from the Liberal health critic, Dr. Adil Shamji, who was in Waterloo just last week, talking about in a town hall that I attended called Patients Not Profits, that was hosted and created by the Liberal associations around our region.
And so doing this will lower Ontario's health spending per capita even more than it is already. So going from last place to even lower.
It's unquestionably going to be so detrimental to our public hospitals and our public health care system that we will never, most likely, never be able to come back from that. It will be a lethal blow. And at the same time, he is being transferring funds from our public system, from our public hospitals, to independent health facilities to support his new policy of transferring 50%, and I'll say that again, 50% of all of our surgeries that are going to be carried, that are currently carried out in our public hospitals, will now be delivered at independent health facilities. And I just want to clarify that for your listeners. Independent health facilities are for-profit private clinics. Mm-hmm. So now we're transferring $100 million. We're on track to transfer $100 million directly to these independent health facilities from our hospital funding. And that information comes directly from the Financial Accountability Office, which is a Queen's Park body that provides all governments with nonpartisan information on their own spending. So this is basically the government's accountant. Yeah. It's just not good news, is it, Bob?
No.
I'll make one last comment about this, and that is that he has also introduced Bill 124, which is basically a slap in the face to the nurses, the same people, and the healthcare workers in our hospitals, the very same people that we were out banging pots for and calling heroes in our society just about a year and a half ago. And he slapped on this Bill 124 wage suppression legislation, which has had a dramatic impact on nurses and other medical professionals leaving as early as they can from our public hospitals. And it's also made recruitment of new nurses in particular, you know, absolutely dreadful. At the same time, we have massive levels of vacancies in the numbers of people and working as nurses, for instance, that the ONA is providing us information on. So this is a crisis that is really a political decision by Mr. Ford. He has created this crisis. It's a political decision, and he's thinking that the only way to proceed is with privatization of our public health care system, because he's listening now to the over 1,137 pro-privatization healthcare lobbyists at Queen's Park. Again, an unprecedented number of lobbyists on healthcare at Queen's Park. So this is where we're headed. We think this is a disaster for public health care. It's a fatal blow for our hospitals. And it's going to impact small and medium hospitals so dramatically across the province that people really need to wake up to this concept of what's actually going to happen to their public health care system.
You've been seeing this happening for several years now. It started with diagnostic imaging and blood tests. It seems to have transferred to cataract surgeries and the like as well. I think they're still taking place in hospitals, but there's certainly a lot of clinics setting up now to deal with just ophthalmic surgeries, which to me look almost like they're privatized, still paid through OHIP, but they're not public health facilities.
Yeah, it's very devious the way that they would set it up. So Mr. Ford came out and he suggested on August 18th of this year, right after the election, and I'd like to talk about what happened during the election, the run-up to the election, what happened with Mr. Ford during the election, and what's happened post-election, if you don't mind. But
go ahead.
Let me just say that you're correct. One of the most devious, parts of this plan is to transfer cataract surgery initially. That's the first thing that is going to happen, out of the hospitals into these private clinics. And that those cataract surgeries can be, it's about a 20-minute procedure, actually. It's not the most difficult procedure, specifically if you decide that as an independent health facility or as a for-profit private clinic, you're only going to take the lightweight cases. You're only going to take the easiest cases. You're not going to deal with anybody who's overweight. You're not going to deal with anybody who has diabetes or any other kind of chronic disease like COPD or anything. You're only going to take the easiest cases, the most profitable cases, and you're going to run them through the private clinics. But here's the thing. That's going to cost us a tremendous amount of money. I already mentioned the $100 million that's on budget to be transferred to independent health facilities. But for every single cataract surgery that will be performed in these for-profit clinics, OHIP will be paying $610 per cataract. Whereas if that was done in our public hospitals, cost is $400. That's what the procedural fees are. But on top of that, even to make it even more insulting, so number one, these cataract surgeries are costing the system much more. But on top of that, the government is also providing these independent health facilities with what they call facility fees for maintenance and administration of these private for-profit clinics. And the last information we were able to get on this came from the Auditor General in 2014. When there was only 800 independent health facilities. And that said that the procedural fees were $198 million, but the facility fees were well over double that at $434 million. So we're not only paying more per procedure, but we're also giving these guys a lot of money to set up their own clinics, administer their clinics, and maintain their clinics. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't seem to me to be in the public interest whatsoever. When we have all of the surgical capacity in our hospitals, right now we have over 100,000, a capacity for over 100,000 surgeries in our hospitals, and we could easily do cataract surgeries in our public hospitals, just as they're doing at the IVI Institute at St. Joseph's Healthcare Center just down the road in London, Ontario, which is world-renowned for cataract surgeries and other eye surgeries, and they do a tremendous job there. So You know, this is not a creative solution. Yeah. This is just nothing more than privatization.
And so you mentioned that these are the easy surgeries that are actually going to be costing more than the more intensive surgeries with people who will have additional issues for undergoing surgery, or obesity perhaps, diabetes. So our underfunded and very likely understaffed hospitals are now going to have to deal with the more complex surgeries.
That's right. That's exactly correct, Bob. And that in itself is, it's such a, again, I hate to use the word despicable more than once in one interview, but it is really despicable to now add even more insult to injury. So not only do we have all these vacancies in our hospitals, I mean, let me just give you an example of that. When I look at RN vacancies, and this comes directly from the vice first president of the ONA, that in the province of Ontario, there's 24,000 vacancies across the entire province. To get a little more specific, there's 500 vacancies in the Ottawa Hospital and 900 vacancies in the London Health Sciences Center just down the highway. But here in our region of Waterloo, when we look at the vacancies across all three hospitals, Cambridge Memorial, St. Mary's, and the Grand River Hospitals, we see that there's 140 vacancies across the region of Waterloo. So, and we have a very finite pool of healthcare specialists, like I'm talking about the medical technologists, the RNs, and even the surgeons. And so as we create more and more...
And I think we may have lost Jim there. We'll get him back on the line in just a second as we continue to talk about the public health issues in Ontario. That's Jim Stewart from the Ontario, the Waterloo Region Health Coalition. In the meantime, let's go back to a little bit more of Living Room for Small from their new album, which I don't know the name of, but here's a tune called The Death of You. Living Room for Small.
Fell apart.
I know the drummer personally, so it's been nice watching them proceed.
That's the drummer from the band called Kroka.
Kroka.
K-R-O-K-A. Okay. We're talking to Jim Stewart from the Water Region Health Coalition about another band. We were actually listening to Living Room for Small, and that was a song called The Death of You, which was released last Friday. And as we were listening to that music, Jim mentioned that he knows of other bands in Waterloo Region, and I've suggested to Jim that he bring them into the studio so they can get a little bit of exposure, bring their music in for some airplay, and maybe come in for an interview and doing a live, on-air, in-studio performance. But we're talking to Jim Stewart today from the Water Region Health Coalition. We were also talking about the despair that we're feeling. Jim, you were saying that you think we're losing the battle here.
Well, we will lose the battle. We haven't lost the battle. I think that we have a capability of stopping this. We have had some major successes in the past at the Ontario Health Coalition. And as you know, Waterloo Region Health Coalition is a component or a chapter, local chapter of the Ontario Health Coalition. Mm-hmm. And what we're about, Bob, it maybe for some of your listeners, is trying to support and strengthen and get adequate funding and adequate human resources for our public health care system that we all cherish so much. We're a nonpartisan organization, and quite frankly, I don't really know of too many people in Ontario that do not support our public health care system. That includes the Liberals, the NDPs, the Conservatives, and the Greens. Everybody is fully supportive of public health care. And that's why Mr. Ford's privatization announcements and his devious nature leading up to the election was so incredibly disturbing and disappointing. And that all happened right after the former Minister of Health's announcement in February of 2022, where she said, we're going to expand private clinics and for-profit independent health facilities. We're going to do this. And we're going to open up private hospitals and let people pay for their surgeries, etc. We thought that was a bombshell, Bob, and so we, mm-hmm. you know, went to the media, like yourself, I recall, speaking to you about this.
Yeah.
And at one point, I was even interviewed by the Record, and I told them what was happening, because we had it, it was recorded by CBC television. So it was really, this wasn't top secret, you know, but they'd said that, and no one was was paying attention at the time. So we went and had these interviews all across the province with different media, because as an organization who cares deeply about strengthening and supporting public health care system, this seemed like an existential threat to public health care. And as it turns out, it is. So at that time, in March 15th, I was interviewed by the Record. It made the front page. And then the Record, as they would do their due diligence, they phoned the Ministry of Health and asked them for their response. And their response was that what we were saying was categorically false. So that was printed the very next day in the region, in the Record newspaper. So I responded by sending the Record a copy of the recording, the CBC recording of Christine Elliott saying that's the Minister of Health. And so nothing happened, except for the Ontario Health Coalition and the Waterloo Region Health Coalition. We went on a campaign to try to stop the privatization of our healthcare system. And you may have seen all the lawn signs. We had over 500 lawn signs across the region. We had bumper stickers, and we had numerous media contacts talking about this is going to happen. So you have to be aware of this. And as that was happening all across the province, the Minister of Health and Mr. Ford himself were denying that they had any plans to expand independent health facilities. They were outright lying to us in the lead up to the election, just pre-election, saying that there was nothing planned for this. And as you know, as I mentioned earlier, then, during the election, what occurred was that when we would try to have town hall meetings with the conservative MPPs, they wouldn't show up or they'd cancel at the last moment. And that happened all across the province. And at the same time, there was zero information on health care that Mr. Ford was talking about during the election. So there was no policy on health care. There was no planks of his policy on privatizing health care. It was as if it wasn't even being considered or discussed.
Another so zero platform campaign by the conservatives.
Yeah, it was a hide in your hole campaign by the conservatives. They didn't want to have to address any tough questions such as, are you privatizing our public health care system? Do you intend to transfer 50% of all the surgeries out of our hospitals and basically kill public health care in the province of Ontario? Those are the kinds of questions we would have asked. And, of course, we didn't have the opportunity to ask them, and they continued to deny and lie outright to our faces, including to all the media sources, that they were not going to do that. And then, of course, they won the election, and less than 2 months later, they came out and they announced that the status quo that they have created is not working and that they're going to privatize 50% of our public surgeries permanently, into and move them all to independent health facilities, for-profit independent health facilities. And at the same time, they're going to continue with their plans of denuding the public health care system by eliminating funding to the public health care system. So that is something that they should pay for in our minds. That is just dead wrong, that the government of Ontario can say one thing before the election and then after the election do a complete U-turn and go from we're not privatizing to we are fully privatizing our public health care system. We feel that that is something that is dishonorable, to put a nice sort of perspective on it, but I would say it is just unacceptable in a government of Ontario to have this kind of lying mantra about our public health care system. Not allow the people of Ontario to vote on this issue. And so we're asking the public, do they have a mandate to destroy our public hospitals, the hospitals that we have built and paid for over 100 years, the hospitals that we've volunteered in, that we've donated to, and that we've built up with our taxes for over 100 years? Should we just allow that to be sold off? And we think not. So that's where we're coming from as an organization. And I can speak more about what that transfer of human resources would look like in a moment, if you like. But I do want to mention that it's not just ourselves, that, you know, there's organizations all across the country who care, across the province of Ontario and across the country, who care about public health care. And we do have to take some ownership here. You know, because if Ontario decides to privatize our public health care system out of existence, then that will happen right across the country, and we'll end up with American-style health care. And that means the introduction of things like medical debt and medical bankruptcy. People may not know just how prominent that is in American society, but right now 45% of all Americans, that's many more millions of people than we have in the entire country of Canada, that's about 150 million Americans, all have medical debt of at least $10,000 American, $12,000 Canadian. So that's what's happening today in America. But also 50% of every bankruptcy in the country of the United States of America is a direct result of healthcare costs. So they have to make these amoral decisions about either selling every single asset they've ever worked for their entire life, or providing their loved ones, like their children or their wives or their other loved ones, with appropriate healthcare. That's called medical bankruptcy, and it is disgusting.
What's the trend like worldwide? In Canada, we're seeing the decline. Decline has already happened in the United States, but worldwide, Europe, Asia, South America, perhaps. What's the trend towards privatization? Is that happening globally?
No, it's not happening globally. In fact, most OECD countries, all the advanced countries, that's the organization of, you know, economically advantaged countries, all have a fully public system. For instance, you know, if you look at systems like, and I'm glad you brought this up, because there's a couple of really interesting examples of alternatives in the public domain that work very, very well. And so I'm thinking we should be looking at that. We don't have to reinvent the wheel here. We just have to look at what's working and consider maybe adopting some of those strategies. It's not rocket science. What's happening across the world is that the world continues to expand their public health care systems. There are a couple of countries that have some privatization, but it's very difficult to compare these systems to our system. For instance, if you look at the French system, yes, their not-for-profit hospital or healthcare insurance plan, it's a national health insurance plan that's not-for-profit, you know, covers typically anywhere from 70 to 80% of healthcare costs in the country of France. But if you have a chronic illness or something that's very complex, a complex surgery such as cardiac surgery, for instance, open heart, something like that, or you have cancer, it's covered 100%. But the French system also includes all pharmaceuticals. It includes dental care, and then it includes eye care. So they have a fully entrenched public system. And yes, if they want to have like a private bed in a hospital, they take out private insurance so they can have a private room in their hospital. Then there is some private delivery that can be received. But by and large, they're getting far more from their public system than we are getting, and it costs them a lot less.
And that's the ancillary stuff that's privatized there. It's not the direct medical care.
That's right. And then you've got like systems like the German system, which is also has a private delivery model. But that private delivery model is reserved for the incredibly wealthy Germans. And those wealthy Germans they must get involved in that private clinic, because I guess the Germans are saying, well, look, if you've got that much money, you can buy anything you want. You can go to Switzerland or go to America if you want to buy healthcare. That's up to you. But most Germans are covered. The overwhelming majority of Germans are covered by their public system, which is also a very good system, which is much more far-reaching than our public system in Ontario, especially if you consider that all of our doctors are private, all of our laboratory services are private now, much of our medical imaging services have been privatized, and our long-term care is about 70% privatized. And going more and more towards privatization. Our home care is almost 100% privatized. So all we have left is our public hospitals, and our public hospitals are now being 50% of the surgeries are going to be privatized under this scheme. So, yeah, we are working against the trend, Bob, and we really need to think about, you know, reestablishing the public health care system that we all believe should be there for us and our loved ones.
Would there be some advantage, I mean, constitutional requirements notwithstanding, to have federal health care, have it administered and performed at the federal level, taking it away from the provinces? Or would it be just as bad under a federal health care system?
Well, I think constitutionally we're in a place right now that we have the Canada Health Act, which is a federal enactment that forces the provinces to administer healthcare in a public fashion, but it doesn't force the provinces to deliver healthcare in any kind of meaningful way in a public method, with a public methodology. And consequently, what we're seeing in most of the in a couple of the provinces, like the province of Alberta, who went private, you know, much earlier than we did, what we're seeing there is, you know, a private delivery model, which is what Mr. Ford is trying to bring forward here. And that private delivery model just doesn't work. It hasn't worked in Alberta. You know, they brought forward private clinics for surgeries, and their wait lists grew. So, yeah, there's a few people are going to benefit from that because they've got an extra $30,000 to spend on a hip or knee replacement in the province of Alberta. Or they can go to a private cataract clinic like we will be able to go to soon in Ontario and pay an extra $5,000 per cataract surgery, you know, for laser surgery or an improved lens. It could be many more thousands over top of that. And if you think about it, if you do two cataracts per patient, so that's $10,000 per patient, and you've done 100 patients, you're on track to make $1 million a year in extra fees as a private clinic and as a private physician delivering that care. So it's a very lucrative business, and you can see what's driving it. It's all about money.
Now, at the moment, this is still being proposed in a way that OHIP still pays for that private surgery.
Yes, and that's what's really disturbing, is the fact that that private surgery will be paid for with a premium rate of $610 per cataract surgery, as opposed to the $400 that's being paid to our hospitals. So now you have to ask yourself, where, if you're an ophthalmologist and you can deliver the same surgery in the hospital or in your private clinic and make an extra $210 easily by doing the same thing with the same patient, why wouldn't you do it in your private clinic? But also it begs the question, who is actually delivering the care now? And so where do those nurses come from? Where do those medical technologists come from? Where do those physicians come from? They come from our public system. We only have a finite pool. There's only so many of them in our system. We can't grow an RN, a fully trained RN, overnight. No. It takes many years, 3 years, to get them up to speed. And consequently, if we are denuding all of our public system by transferring our human resources to private care, is that, what do you think is going to happen to our public system? And what's going to happen to the wait lists in our public system? It's going to be enormously long, yes, and it's going to be unsatisfactory, and we don't have to do this. This is a less expensive system with better outcomes that's never discussed. And that system is a fully public system. If we look around the world, you asked a global question earlier. If you look around the world and look at the delivery mechanisms of various systems, you can see there's an excellent example in Britain of two different NHS systems. One is a privatized NH model that you have in England, and one is a fully public model that you have in Scotland. And in Scotland, they are the world leader. So this is a global leader in wait times now. So their start to finish for all major surgeries, et cetera, is about 16 weeks compared to 26 weeks at the best of times in Canadian provinces. So, you know, we can emulate that. They have a transformational strategy that has really worked. Whereas in England, they decided to go down the privatization model, and you just have to turn on the BBC to see what's happening in Britain. It is a disaster. The NHS in Britain is on its knees. It's barely surviving. They can do almost nothing now with their NHS, and the English people want their NHS back, but they're not going to get it back because it has been delivered into the hands of private operators. And under our trade agreements, for instance, once it's there, there's no going back. And that's our big fear in the province of Ontario.
So the Waterloo Region Health Coalition is setting out to publicize this. What other things does the Health Coalition, both the Regional Health Coalition and the Provincial Health Coalition, what do they do, and how can people get involved?
Yes, well, thank you for asking that question. Well, we lobby the government directly. Obviously, we keep the pressure on them. We talk to the media about what's happening, and we try to support local initiatives at the Waterloo Region Health Coalition, such as the ONA picket lines on February the 23rd, again at 11 o'clock at St. Mary's, and then 12:30 at Grand River Hospital. So please come out and join the picket and tell the government through our media that we are not supportive of privatizing our public health care system. In fact, we want the reverse. We want a fully public system. And we want to grow it and strengthen it and finance it properly with the right kind of human resources and financial resources. So please come out to those picket lines, and please consider joining the Waterloo Region Coalition, Health Coalition, which is made up of concerned citizens, nonpartisan concerned citizens across our region who want to take some action, who are sick and tired of sitting there and seeing our public health care system be destroyed in front of their eyes. So please come out and join us, and the best way to join us is to look for our Facebook website, or our website or Facebook, or just simply send me an email at waterlooregionhealthcoalition@gmail.com. So waterlooregionhealthcoalition@gmail.com.
And we'll have all the links to your online presence, your website, your Facebook page.
Yes.
I'll post that email address too on our website, show notes for today, which you can get at radiowaterloo.ca/CCC.
An even easier place to go for more information is to just look at the Ontario Health Coalition. We have a very rich website full of information on public health care. So just go and look at it.
So when people join the Water Region Health Coalition, you have regular meetings?
Yes, we have a monthly meeting. We've been doing it via Zoom during the pandemic. We're going to continue with Zoom until the foreseeable future, but then we hope to, you know, go to an in-person meeting again very soon. Right. So, yes.
Hopefully you'll continue to have hybrid meetings where you've got at least one webcam on the meeting, so people can still join in remotely if they want to. Is there individual participation in the Ontario Health Coalition as well?
Yes, absolutely. You can join up and be one of our healthcare defenders. So what we're looking for is people to keep their eyes out, basically whistleblowers on public health care, to see and report, you know, to us what's actually happening, what they've seen, like how much they're being charged per, you know, the fees are being charged now for surgeries, etc. Mm-hmm. And we want to document this and report it to the rest of the public and the province of Ontario, so let them know just how dastardly this really is.
Right. For the pickets that are happening on Thursday in front of the two hospitals, it'll be right at the main entrance to both hospitals.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You'll see us. We'll be standing there with the nurses in solidarity and letting them know that we do care about their efforts and that they should be respected and that this slap in the face is not something that we support.
Yeah. I've got some contact information from the local bargaining units, the local 139 and local 55, who are the organizers for the two pickets.
Yeah,
Waterloo Region Health Coalition,
or through the Waterloo Region Labor Council, or through the Waterloo Region Health Coalition.
Right.
So you can reach us any way you want, and you don't need to register. You can just show up. It's an hour in front of each hospital, 1 hour at St. Mary's and 1 hour at Grand River, and we need your support.
Yeah. So everybody out on Thursday morning at the two hospitals, starting at St. Mary's at 11 o'clock and then Grand River Hospital at 12:30, right after lunch.
Correct. Thank you very much.
I want to thank you again, Jim. I hope we don't have to do this again. I hope that everything is fixed this time around and that there won't be a need to have you back in the studio to do another interview. That was Jim Stewart from the Water Region Health Coalition talking to us today about public health care and privatization in the Ontario public health care system. This has been CKMS Community Connections, and my name is Bob Jonkman. CKMS Community Connections is sponsored by Radio Waterloo and produced for CKMS FM Radio Waterloo in Kitchener, Ontario, Canada. We're a community radio station with programming produced by the community, for the community, and about the community. You can read the show notes at radiowaterloo.ca/CCC, read the music lists, hear the past episodes, and subscribe to the podcast. Our executive producer is Jennifer Strong. Contributing producers are Jeff Stager, Dylan Bravener, and Steve Todd, who also wrote and performed our opening theme music. CKMS Community Connections airs every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon, and also on Fridays from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m.